All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll get there in a minute. Praise God. Amen. And, we're going to continue talking. I was going over my notes. I thought, why does it seem like it's been a while since I have ministered on this? And then I realized it's because it's been a while since I ministered on this. I was gone for a week on my little mini vacation, which was just a great time for Mary and I to get away for a couple days and get out of Dodge. And I know Miss Kay ministered valiantly for us last week, praise God. And so it has been a little while since we covered some of this, so might go back on touching some of the things that we talked about a couple of weeks back. But we're talking about prayer, and we talked about the power of prayer for a few weeks, and then I thought we were kind of done, got to move on to something else, and God brought some things to my heart about the role of the gifts of the Spirit in relation to prayer. You know, I think sometimes we set our expectation too low. You know, we do serve the God of the Bible. Amen. The supernatural God who split the Red Sea, who caused the sun and the moon to stand still in the heavens so Joshua could finish his battle. The one who raised Christ from the dead. Can you say amen? And so we ought to expect God to show up when we commune with Him, when we have fellowship with Him. We ought to expect to hear the voice of God. You know, prayer is not one-way communication. It is two-way communication, and God wants to speak to you. He wants to communicate to us and give us direction for life and certainly to empower us for service. And so we ought to expect to have this interaction with God, and particularly when we pray. We ought to expect the power of God to come into manifestation. We ought to expect answers to our prayers. Amen. In fact, a verse that we were looking at before, I won't have you turn to it for time's sake, but you might remember James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or as the Amplified Bible says, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Well, if prayer makes power available, that at some point, prayer is going to open the door to the gifts of the Spirit because they are manifestations of the power of God. You know, when we talk about being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit in our life through the new birth, that really speaks to the character of God. In other words, when you get born again, you get a nature change. You get a new spiritual DNA, if you will. Amen. And there are 9 corresponding fruit of the Spirit that speak to the character of God that should be exemplified in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. This is the character of God. Can you say amen? And it ought to be evident in our life when we're born again. But when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a new dimension in which the Spirit of God visits our lives, and He begins to express Himself through the power of God. And there are 9 corresponding gifts of the Spirit, which we'll get to in just a moment, that become evident and manifest in our life. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I happened to be singing in a gospel quartet at the time. And everyone else in the gospel quartet, there was actually 6 of us because there was a couple of musicians as well. They were all from Pentecostal churches, all tongue talkers. And I was the only Baptist among them. And God had me set up. Within a couple of weeks of being in that group, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, I'll be honest with you, there is nothing like hunger to take you where God wants to take you. Until you get an appetite for the things of God, you won't progress very far in the things of God. But God always, always, always responds to hunger. And if you're hungry for Him, He will lead you in the direction that you're desirous to go. And I know, you know, the Bible said, God satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And like I said, I was raised in a Southern Baptist context, and thank God for the Baptists. I got born again among the Baptists. Amen. And I thank God for everything that they gave me. But there came a time where I had already grazed, if you will, in our little Southern Baptist sheep pen, and I'd already ate all the grass and fed on all the things that they ministered to us and shared with us. And I just got hungry for something more. And I'd look through the fence, if you will, to these other sheep in different pastures, full gospel churches and so forth, that seemed to just be enjoying a broader, larger experience than me. And I don't know, one day I just made a jailbreak. I hopped the fence and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And there was definitely, immediately, I was very conscious of the fact. I was old enough and had been in church all my life to notice that there was, if you will, a BC and an AD to that experience. There was the before and there was the after. And it wasn't just something that I recognized internally in me. I was in the ministry, even though young at that time. I had opportunities to preach from time to time. And I remember I went up, I kind of started cutting my teeth preaching up at Sam White's church. Actually in the little Southern Baptist church, and then up at Sam White's church. What faith he had in letting a little Baptist boy come up to his Pentecostal church. But he had opened the door to me, and I would preach for him from time to time. And then sometimes I'd preach at the Southern Baptist church up there in New Coamo as well. And I used to say those churches are real close to each other, within rock throwing distance of each other at least. But they were wonderful people. And I remember I was at the Southern Baptist Church one morning, not long after I'd received this experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, that's when the power of God's introduced to your life. And I'm preaching my little message, and a lady comes up to me, and she kind of had that little smile on her face that made me feel like we had a shared experience that we dare not talk about in that little Southern Baptist church. But she looked at me and smiled and said, "You've got power in your life, don't you?" And I kind of played it down. "Oh, you know, I don't know." She said, "Yeah, yeah, you do." And we knew what we were talking about. But there's something about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that just gives you a larger, richer, deeper experience where the power of God is concerned. And when it comes to prayer, as we said, you will find that the more you pray, particularly the more you give yourself to praying in the Spirit, the more you will have these manifestations, these gifts of the Spirit, come into manifestation and demonstration in your life. In fact, let's go ahead and look at Ephesians 6. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what? Let's just look at this. Go to Ephesians 6 and we'll figure it out. How's that? Because I want to kind of, before I hit verse 18, want to remind you that verses 10 through 17 talk about the armor of God. And, you know, I know people who go through an exercise. Maybe you used to do it yourself. Get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm putting on the helmet of salvation today." And then they go about their business, not really realizing what that armor is for. It's kind of like I said, we're all dressed up and nowhere to go. But if you look at verse 18, it explains what that armor is for. It goes on to say, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." So he's talking about prayer armor. Amen. You know, when you begin to pray, you begin to take the offensive spiritually. You take the battle to the devil. Can you say amen? And that's why you got to have your defense. That's why you got to have your armor on. Because he's going to challenge you. He's going to try to bring doubt to your mind. He's going to try to assail you with various maybe questions about your standing with God, just to try to keep you from going to that place where you're generating power for the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? And you've got to persevere. And the Bible says that when we pray, we make tremendous power available. The devil does not want to see tremendous power being generated for the purposes of God. So he's going to try to get you to question your standing with God, or, you know, whatever the case. All of us know how that attack sometimes comes to the mind, or he might create trouble in the family or whatever. He'll try to stir stuff up. Have you ever had the devil try to stir stuff up? And especially, I've seen it again and again, and you have too. The moment you start to press into God, here it comes. And all of a sudden, your family goes nuts. And people that you've always been at peace with before suddenly have problems with you. And things go haywire at work. And you can't get the car to start. You think, what in the world? And then even maybe in your marriage relationship, it's always been peaceful and good before. Then all of a sudden, there's contention and strife. And you think, what in the world? That's why you got to have that armor on. Can you say amen? And you got to know how to take authority and dominion over the enemy where your life is concerned. He has no right nor authority in your life. When you got born again, you were delivered from the power of darkness, and there was a no trespassing sign on your life. But how many know the devil doesn't know how to read? And so he'll try to get, you know, he'll hop that fence and try to mess with your stuff, and you got to tell him where the line in your life is. Can you say amen? And sometimes we just got to let the devil know where he's got to get off and get out. Can you say amen? But nevertheless, when we pray, we make tremendous power available. It's interesting that word that we read though a while ago. It says the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know, you can pray more effectively sometimes than at other times. And certainly we know that the more in line with the Word we are, the more effective we are. But also there's that phrase that we've been talking about for the last several weeks that I'm trying really hard to get to. That little phrase, in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we ask the question, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? We said, among other things, it means to pray in other tongues. We'll get to a verse in a moment that deals with that. But more than that, we said it's really praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to kind of, if I let go to 1 Corinthians 14, let's go ahead and take a look at this other verse. 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified translation, just simply because it does exactly that. It amplifies the meaning, and it gets across what we want to say here. But notice this, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15 says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. You know, when you get born again, the Bible said you're one spirit with God. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying. When you're praying in other tongues, you're praying, but you're doing it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says, so if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. You know, when you pray in other tongues, your mind is not conscious, number one, often of what you're saying. You know, because you're praying in a language your mind does not necessarily understand. So your mind more or less goes into neutral. Can you say amen? And you're praying with your spirit. That, to us, oftentimes creates a lot of frustration because we want to be in control. We want to know what's going on. And so that's hard on our faith sometimes. But the Bible said that my spirit is praying with the help of the Holy Spirit within me. Now, here's the beautiful thing about that. When I pray with my own understanding, with my own intellect, with my intelligence, as it says here, I'm limited because I only know so much. If I'm praying for the government, I know to pray for the government. The Bible tells me to pray for kings and those that are in authority, but I only know so much to pray. But how many know the Holy Ghost knows everything? And so when I pray in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm praying beyond my ability to understand. In fact, that's why sometimes people will criticize and say, well, what good does it do to pray in tongues? You don't even know what you're saying. And that's the whole point, is if I'm praying with my understanding, I'm limited to what I understand. But when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I step out of the limited confines of my comprehension and step into the omniscience of God. Amen. And that's why oftentimes when you're praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden the Bible said he that speaks, that when we pray in another tongue, we speak mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Hidden things, secret things. One translation says divine mysteries. So there's times where you're praying in other tongues and you're praying about, you might think you're praying about one thing. You might have started off praying with your own mind about a particular thing. And then as you start to pray in the Spirit, you might think you're still praying about that. And then suddenly God starts to speak to you or show you things to come completely on a different line. And I found this to be true, that oftentimes if I will give myself to prayer, God will use me to pray things out that He needs dealt with in the earth. You know, a lot of times, again, and I, without going back and doing a whole lot of teaching that we've already done, we said before that God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him to do it, because He's authorized the church to be His representatives in the earth. And it's as we pray out the will of God that His will is done. And so oftentimes as we make ourselves available to God in prayer, He will take advantage of that opportunity to pray out the things that He needs done in the earth. And sometimes, like I said, we'll find ourselves praying out things or praying for things that maybe were not even on our mind. That's the advantage. Because if I were praying with my mind, I might be praying about the things that only concern me. But how many of you know there's other things that God needs dealt with, God needs prayed out, that maybe I'm not even mindful of or thinking about? Can you say amen? You know, I don't know if you've had this experience, you probably have before, but maybe you've been praying along, just even with your understanding, and all of a sudden, someone's face flashes before you in your mind. You know, just, you know, nothing real conspicuous. And you might even have noticed over the course of a few days, you know, every time I start to pray, I think about so-and-so. Maybe I ought to give him a call. What God's trying to get you to do is pray for him. And oftentimes what He's doing is just speaking to your spirit. And a lot of times we miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. We're looking for something over the top when God lives on the inside of us. How do you know if you live real close to someone, you don't have to shout to get their attention? And God lives on the inside of us. And oftentimes, there are things that He's saying to our spirits in a very subtle way, and we're missing it. I'll never forget, I was in Vermont, and I talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost in relation to prayer. This is a good example. I was in Vermont in a little community called Bridgewater Center. And I was in a church that when I got there, I thought was a full gospel church. And by the time I got done messing with them, they practically were. Amen. But they were kind of a community church. I found out later, not really a spirit-filled church. But I ministered that morning, and I could tell that I was a different flavor for them. Let's just say it that way. And I came back that night just ready to minister my message, and the pastor and the choir were downstairs praying before service. So I went down just to pray with them. And the moment I took the pastor's hand and one of the choir members' hand and closed my eyes, instantly out of word of knowledge. I saw as it were, someone with curvature of the spine. I just saw an image, a flash. I could have easily missed that. Because it wasn't like, ta-da, I'm God, I'm giving you a word now. It was just an image. But it was very distinct. I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. So I went out. I didn't have any anointing. I didn't feel goosebumps or, you know, anything. Just thought, to be honest with you, you're kind of hoping God was going to show up, that he knew where the church was. You know, it just felt very dry. So I got, just started ministering my message. And, you know, people kind of warmed up a little bit. But when I came to the end, I felt no particular anointing. But I remembered what God showed me down in that choir room. So I said, there's someone here. You got to be bold with these things. I mean, you feel like it's all you. You're just there alone by yourself. But see, this is where faith comes in. And I said, there's someone here and you've got curvature of the spine. God wants to heal you tonight. I didn't feel like saying that. If I were going by my feelings, I would have just said, y'all pray for me. I think I'm backslid. That's how I felt. Because, it wasn't like they were really with you. Yeah, go, man. I love this power of God stuff. But I knew what I'd seen. I called that out. There was a lady and her daughter. Her daughter had seemed supernaturally disinterested all service long. I mean, she was anointed to be bored in my service. So it just shows you how much this had to be God. So they come up, and I laid hands on that young girl, and I'm telling you, the power of God hit her. Well, long story short, that was almost like the catalyst. The moment we did that, power of God began to flow. And I started laying hands on people. In fact, one lady who eventually became my secretary was in that service. She saw people start to fall under the power. We laid hands on them. And she said, well, I have a need, but those folk might fall over, but I'm not going to fall over. She said, I don't even remember you touching me. She said, I remember you reaching toward me. And next thing I know, a few minutes later, I come to myself on the floor looking up into the ceiling. Not knowing how I got here. It catalyzed a revival that went on in that church for the rest of the year. They said after that, just spontaneously, the power of God would hit their church. And people would fall under the power. They'd never had anything like this before. Weren't even a spirit-filled church. That girl went back to the doctor. I did not know it, but she had a 40-degree curvature in her spine. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but I remember when I saw that word of knowledge, it looked like a C to me. Literally, like someone's spine was just, well, 40 degrees sounds like it would probably look like that. Well, they had her in a brace. And the doctor had said, within 6 months' time, we hope to see a 20-degree improvement. She went back like the next week. She had a 23-degree improvement in that spine. That was supernatural. That was the power of God. But again, just very subtle, because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. So a lot of times we talk about the gifts of the Spirit or the power of God. I think sometimes, like Brother Hagin, you say it all the time. We miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. And oftentimes these things will be subtle. Amen. And so we have to give attention to and be conscious of these things. When we pray, we should realize this is not a one-way dialogue. If I'm talking to God, He will also talk to me. You know, especially if we're seeking God for wisdom and direction, and how can we reach out and touch our community, and how can we be difference makers in our world? And we're praying along those lines and asking God for wisdom. Do we believe that He hears us or not? Do we believe that He responds to our prayers? If not, if we do, then we ought to believe that He's going to begin to speak to our hearts. Now, you know, when you start off, you'll find out, I have found out at least, that I have kind of seen a pattern in how God speaks to me. So now that I kind of know that, I recognize it more readily when He does, when He talks to me. And sometimes it'll be more demonstrative than others. You know, we're starting this healing school on April 23rd, on Thursday night. The way that started was not long ago. I was getting ready to get in the bathtub, the shower, whatever it was. And I'm praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I heard the word of the Lord, if you will. I heard a word just very clearly. Healing. Well, healing's been a part of my ministry for years. I mean, we've laid hands on the sick and all over the country and different parts of the world. So what does that mean? Healing. But I just knew that He was giving me direction. And I just kind of meditate on that a little bit, and here we are. Now we're starting into these healing schools, amen, as a result of just God speaking to me during a time of prayer in the morning. And when He said it, with that word came kind of a sense of what He meant. Amen. And so here we are, obeying God in the direction that He gave us, a word of wisdom, direction for what to do to cooperate with His mind and purpose for our church. Amen. And again, as you begin to pray, you'll find God will begin to communicate to you and speak to your heart. It might be something simple. It might be take a bag of groceries to your neighbor. It might be make a phone call to your mom. Who knows? And oftentimes God might start off with baby steps with you to get you obedient, to get you moving in that direction. But the more you begin to cooperate with Him, the more He'll speak to you and give you direction in life. I know I was talking to a friend one time, just in the course of conversation, I said something about the Lord had spoken to me, and he said, man, you know, you say that a lot. The Lord spoke and said this. He said, I wish I could get God to talk to me like you do. I said, well, the thing is, you're probably looking for Him to talk to you in a different way than what He is. Because God's no respecter of persons. If He'll talk to me, He'll talk to you. But a lot of times what we're looking for is something with these natural ears. Or again, something spectacular. Something out here. Something, you know, external. But God wants to speak to our hearts. Again, we're one spirit with Him. So He'll speak to you inside. That intuitive part of you. You know, how many of you have ever just had something happen and you just knew that you knew that you knew? You can't explain it. I just got a sense of such and such. It's not words. It's just a conviction. You just know. That's the Holy Spirit oftentimes speaking to our hearts. In that intuitive part of our being, our spirit. Amen? It's not intellectual. It's more intuitive. Can you say amen? So again, as we pray in the Spirit, we're more effective in our prayers. Now I remember a pastor's wife years ago, really mightily used of God in the arena of prayer, and she made a great analogy, I thought. She said, when we talk about in the Spirit, and we're trying to explain what that means, she said, I would say it to you this way. She said, in the Spirit is a place. You know, I think it's mostly in the King James Version of the Bible where it'll use this terminology. But when Elijah was to go anoint Elisha to be prophet in his room, you remember that phrase, or in his office? What does that mean, in the prophet's room? Well, put it to you this way. How many of you know, one of you ladies have one, a sewing room? Or for a guy, it might be his wood shop. Well, there are certain things you can do in that sewing room or that wood shop or whichever it is because of the tools you have in there. If you want to repair a torn dress or whatever, you don't take it to the kitchen probably, or you don't take it to the garage. You take it to the sewing room because in there you have access to tools you don't have access to in other rooms in the house. Likewise, if a fellow wants to work on, you know, sand something down, varnish something, what does he do? He goes to his wood shop because he has access to tools in there. In the Spirit, in that place, there are tools you have available to you that will help you to be effective in the realm of prayer. Those tools are, among other things, these gifts of the Spirit, particularly the gifts of revelation. I used an analogy a while ago, an illustration a while ago of being in Vermont and seeing that word of knowledge a word of wisdom, a word of direction as we prayed. And many, many times those things have come to me as I prayed in the Spirit. Amen. You know, if you want direction for life, if you need answers, I would encourage you to spend much time praying in the Spirit. Because as you pray in the Spirit, oftentimes what you're doing is connecting with the mind and heart of God. And it'll be during those times that you'll get answers from heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. Now turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we kind of talked about some of these things, but we're just trying to touch base on some stuff. And I know some of it, like I said, we touched on before, but it's been a little while. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. What's that? No, just regular New King James. We talked about this the other day, it seems like in a different context, but in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, the Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, before I go any further, I just want to remind you of what we've shared a number of times about this passage here where it says spiritual gifts. You'll notice in your Bible, it should be, it may not be in some translations, but that word gifts there is italicized. The reason why is it's not in the original languages. Whenever you see an italicized word in your Bible, that means that it was not necessarily there in the original Greek, but it was a word filled in by the translators to try to convey the meaning of the word. And when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12:4, if you look down, the Bible said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The word gifts there is the Greek word charis or charisma. And that's where we get the phrase charismatic churches and so forth. And it refers to the gifts of the Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Ghost listed in verses 12 through 10 that we'll get to in a moment. This word in verse 1, though, is a different word. The word spiritual there, spiritual gifts, it's really plural, spirituals. And the word gifts is actually not there. It's a Greek word pneumaticos. We talked about this a couple of weeks back when we shared on this last time. We use the word pneuma today. We talk about pneumatic tools or wind or air-powered tools. And the word pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. It's also translated wind or breath. And it connotes the idea of invisibility and power. And how many know that's the way the wind is? The wind the other night was blowing. And I heard going slipping through the cracks of our windows and different things like that. Or you might hear a boom, boom, boom as the branches of the tree hit the house. And you say, I hear the wind. Well, really what you hear is the sound of what the wind is influencing. Or you might say, boy, the wind's blowing. How do you know? I saw it. No, you didn't. You might have saw the dirt. You might have saw the tumbleweed. You might have saw the things blow, the trash blowing out. But you didn't see the wind. It's invisible. But you can see the things it influences. And sometimes the wind can blow very strong. And sometimes the wind can blow very gently. But it's all the wind. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. You know what's interesting? The Spirit of God can influence, you know, in a service we can feel the influence of the Spirit. How many of you know you can also feel the influence of the devil? We don't like to talk about this part, but just as you can develop your spirit to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you can get developed in your flesh to be sensitive to the devil. I hate to use the analogy because all of us have lived here a little bit too closely probably, so just look straight forward and say, yeah, I know people just like that, Pastor, but maybe you've had this happen to you, just maybe. I know y'all are probably too spiritual to have had something like this happen, but I will acknowledge that in my life this has happened before. Have you ever got in a little bit of a tiff with your spouse? And as you did, for some reason, you just noticed the temperature kept increasing a little bit. And then all of a sudden you said to yourself, I better not say this. If I do, I know I'll be sorry. But you just couldn't help yourself. It was there to be said. You said it. It felt so good for a moment. And then when you walked away from it, you both felt ashamed. But you know, who's going to say I'm sorry first and all that kind of thing. You know how that goes. But you, what happened? It got out of hand. It didn't even feel like me. It's because you were yielding to the influence. Boy, I wish people could yield to the influence of the Spirit as good as they can sometimes to the influence of the devil when he works on our flesh. Can you say amen? I get tickled sometimes. You know, people come into a Spirit-filled church and it's kind of new to them. They'll see someone fall under the power, hear someone talk in tongues, and they'll get scared. And yet they're hungry for the supernatural, but they'll say things like this. Oh, Pastor, I just don't want to yield to the wrong spirit. And it's kind of funny, to be honest with you, because if you know people, it's very likely that before they came to church that morning, they yelled at the wives, kicked the dog, and you know, screamed at the kids on the way to church. Then they're worried suddenly about yielding to the devil in the house of God. When they might have yielded to him all morning long or all week long at work. Can you say amen? But just like you can yield to the devil, you can crucify the flesh and yield to the Spirit. Can you say amen? And how many of you know we need to get good at crucifying the flesh and yielding to the Holy Spirit, not vice versa? Can you say amen? But here, this phrase, spirituals, implies this idea of the wind, yielding to the influence of the Spirit of God. Now, when we come to church, you've heard me say many times, we need to come to church on purpose. We need to come to church with a sense of intentionality. You know, a lot of times we come to church, it's kind of like plopping down in the movie theater. We're just here to watch and see what's going to happen. But how do you know we're not spectators in church, we're participants. And when we come to the house of God, we need to extend our faith to believe God to move. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have signs, wonders, and miracles in every single service, but we do expect the Holy Spirit to show up and manifest Himself in every service. A good anointed message is just as much a demonstration of the power of God as healing or miracles or anything else. Particularly when you have certain questions in life and all of a sudden the pastor says, I don't know why I'm saying this, but, and then he goes right down a little rabbit path that answers all those questions you've been asking God all week long. Yeah. How many know sometimes that's worth a lot more than a miracle, if you will? Sometimes we just need answers from heaven and God will give us that. But what we need to do is expect God. You know, you've heard me say this before, but I never have any guest speaker or go into any service without having a little discussion with God. And I tell him every single time, I'm going to hear from you tonight. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not asking for that fellow to call me out and give me a word. Because I'm not dependent on a man to give me a word. I can get a word from God. But what I mean by that is I'm expecting at some point to hear something that pertains expressly to me. You know, to answer some questions sometimes I don't even know I had. There have been times I've been sitting in a service and a minister said something so good, and it spoke right to where I was. Now you could hear the same thing and it mean nothing to you because that's not where you are. But God knows your address. He knows what's going on in your life. I remember one time we had some people visiting our church from another neighboring church when I was pastoring another city years ago. And I'm ministering on a Sunday night, and I'm just kind of flowing with the Spirit of God, and I just kept getting over in this area on strife. And I kept saying things like, I don't know why I'm saying this, it's not in my message, but... And I kept going down this little rabbit path, talking about strife and contention and the damage it does in our lives. And, well, I did not know it, but the reason why they were visiting our church is they were going through some strife issues in the church they were going to. And God had been dealing with their hearts. And not only did God answer their questions, but next thing I knew, they joined the church. Amen. But you know, sometimes God just has an answer for people because they're in the right place at the right time. Amen. And so when we come to church, we need to expect to connect with heaven. We need to expect to hear from God. Likewise, when we go to prayer, we need to expect to connect with God. We need to expect for God to get in that time of prayer with us. We need to expect to receive direction from Him as we pray and get answers from Him as we pray. Can you say amen? You know, a lot of times I've shared with you before when I've prayed, you know, the Bible says, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not or without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now what is wisdom? Wisdom's God's what to do. You ever come to a fork in life and you say, which way do I go? Left or right? Do I take this job or this job? Do I marry this person or this person? Do I, you know, these are big life questions. And the Bible said if you lack wisdom, ask of God and He will give you that wisdom. In fact, the context, the verses right before that said, you know, it counted all joy, my brethren, if anyone's going through a test or a trial. How many know when you're going through a test or trials when you really need to hear from God? You need some wisdom. What do I do? Which way do I go? Do I take the surgery or do I not have the surgery? These are questions no man can answer for you. Amen. There are a lot of questions I won't answer for people because I don't want that level of responsibility on me. But you need to hear from God. Can you say amen? Well, if we ask God for wisdom, we ought to expect Him to speak to our hearts. But I found this to be true in my life. I don't know how it works with you. But oftentimes I'll ask God for wisdom. And the Bible said, let Him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now that means two things to me. Number one, it means that when I ask, I expect God to speak to me. But how many know God didn't always speak on your timetable? So when I ask God for wisdom, I thank Him that I have the wisdom I need, period, done, seal the deal. But then I keep my ear open because often I've found that the wisdom doesn't come at that moment. But later I'm driving in my car or I'm praying in the Spirit and all of a sudden a thought will occur to me or an idea will come to me or just a conviction. Suddenly I just kind of feel better about this than I do about this. I have more peace about going this way than I do that. What is that? It's that wisdom that comes from God. Amen. Let me tell you something about in the Spirit that will really help you. If you're one of these people that have to always have the TV on, or always have noise around you, or always be engaged with something where your mind's always busy, you're going to have a hard time hearing from heaven. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, getting still, getting quiet before God, spending time in His presence, stilling your mind, these are all real important keys to hearing from God. And that's one of the things I think that's a detriment. I love technology. I mean, I got every device that's out there. If Apple makes it, I got one. In some cases, I got two. But there comes a time you got to turn all those things off. And you got to get still before God. Open your Bible. And let me just say this too. Listen, if I were going to sit down, let's say I needed help in business, and I had an opportunity to sit down with a Warren Buffett or a name your guy, whoever knows business or investing or whatever. You know, I might ask my question, but I'm going to let him do a lot more talking than me. You know why? Because He knows a lot more than I do. But a lot of times when we go to God for answers or direction, we do all the talking. And how do you know sometimes we just need to spend a little bit of time in the Word and get our hearts quiet, our minds quiet, and open our spirit to God. And maybe just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit and worship God. Let me show you some. Go to Acts 13. Boy, I'm all over the map today, but it's all good. We're still staying on topic. We're just kind of going a little bit different direction. Go to Acts 13. I want you to see this. You know, I guess you could say there's different kinds of prayer. Amen? There's the prayer of petition, but there's also the prayer of what we would call waiting on the Lord, waiting on God. And when you need to hear from the Lord, this is one of the kinds of prayer that you need to become very familiar with. And notice what it says here. This is Acts 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers." You could say these are the staff pastors. These are the guys that are in Antioch all the time ministering there. Prophets and teachers. And it gives a list of guys. Starts off with Barnabas. Simeon, who was called Niger. Lucius of Cyrene. Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now these are all ministers. You could say, like I said, they're staff guys at the church at Antioch. Now notice what they were spending their time doing. I think this is fascinating because it gives us insight into what the early church did at church. Verse 2 says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." Now, here's the interesting thing. They did not meet together about Barnabas and Saul or about their apostolic ministry. It doesn't say anything about them getting together to find direction from God at all, does it? They came to give time to God, to minister to Him. What's that word? Other translations say, "as they worshiped the Lord and fasted." In other words, and the Bible said they fasted, which means they laid aside some natural things, food for one. You know, some of us would be better off, like I said, just cutting off the TV. That might be a better fast for some of us than laying off food. But just getting away from the natural busyness of life, spending a little more time in the presence of God, maybe fasting your lunch hour. You know, not necessarily just all the food, but you know, maybe enough to keep enough energy to work through the day, but spending a little of that time each day to wait on God. But they're just worshiping the Lord, they're ministering to Him, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, now how did He say it? We don't know, it doesn't say. I would imagine that one of the prophets spoke it out. But it was in that environment, in worshiping God, ministering to the Lord, that He spoke. Have you noticed that it's oftentimes, if you've been around charismatic churches much, after we worship the Lord, we do the singing, and there'll come that still moment. And oftentimes there's a prophecy, a tongue of interpretation, or somebody gets a word of knowledge. I know in my churches, historically, it's always been that way for me. Some ministers minister more at the end of the service after they preach their message. But for me, a lot of times, particularly when I'm pastoring, it's after worship. As we spend some time waiting on the Lord, you know, spending a little maybe extended time in His presence, then all of a sudden a word of knowledge will come, or prophecy, tongue of interpretation. Why? Because that's consistent with Scripture. When we minister to the Lord, when we wait on God, He will often speak. And look at the significance of the direction. This was the launching of the apostolic ministry of the Apostle Paul. That was kind of significant. And yet it came not with Paul desperately on his knees. Oh God, what do you want me to do? Oh God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me? Where do you want me to go? Just ministering to the Lord. Spending time worshiping God. And it was in that environment of ministering to the Lord, waiting on God, that direction came. Now, oftentimes when we need direction, when we really need answers, oftentimes we do exactly the opposite of what they did. First thing a lot of times, especially if we're really desperate for answers, first thing we do a lot of times is get real anxious. Lord, I need answers, and I need answers now. As though He doesn't know what's going on in your life. Amen. You know, the Lord loves you more than you love you. You know, that's one thing we just need to get settled. God loves me. He's got my best interest at heart. And sometimes if He's not saying anything, because you don't need to hear anything. But sometimes it's because we're so anxious and wringing our hands, and we're not even close to being in faith. Amen. But what we need to do is still our minds, spend some time ministering to the Lord, worshiping Him, loving on Him. And oftentimes it's in that environment of just spending time in His presence. Not necessarily trying to get something out of God, but just loving on heaven, worshiping God, ministering to Him. It's oftentimes in those environments that the Spirit of God will manifest Himself. Amen. You know, I believe in being efficient with time, and I certainly believe in not wasting people's time. But if we're going to have these kinds of manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit, you know, we can't necessarily put God on a clock. Amen. Now, like I said, I don't believe in wasting time or just having long services to have long services as in church for a long time. But I do believe this, that as we begin to minister to the Lord and the Spirit of God is moving, as far as I'm concerned, there is no clock.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because if God is moving, there's people that are going to get answers. There's going to be manifestation of the Spirit that provide deliverance and healing, or whatever the case is. Amen. You know, I like to say it this way. This is God's house. When I go to your house, I don't dictate how we behave. I don't rip the control out of your hand and start flipping the channels to what I want to watch. I'm a guest in your house. And you're the host of the house. And whatever you want to do, that I just enjoy your hospitality. How many know this is the house of God? And when we come here and begin to worship Him and get in His presence, He'll begin to set the agenda. Now, a lot of times, obviously, if we have a message to preach, God's already spoken ahead of time and so forth and so on. But friend, there's many wonderful messages I never got to preach that He gave me. But still, He had a better agenda when we got to the house. There's something about God. I know my wife and I talk about this all the time. She says, I just don't like this part about God. But God operates on a need-to-know basis. And there's just a lot of stuff that He figures you don't need to know. And part of the reason why is because God is a faith God. I'll kind of close with this humorous story. I was going to go minister in Eureka. And in this particular church, there's some places you go, you're just their flavor. They like you. You know, and this is one of those churches they just love to have me come up and minister. And I had been waiting on the Lord, and He gave me what I thought was a great message. Well, I got on the pulpit that night, and you understand, I'm a lot younger in ministry then than I am now. In ministry, you don't really operate with a safety net, if you will. You got a message. I don't bring three of them up there with me. And so you get up there, and I start to try to preach this message. And let me just tell you, it was supernaturally not anointed. I mean, I know when the anointing's there. Like one person said, I don't know what the anointing is, but I know when it ain't. And it was one of those nights where it wasn't. And I think it was one of those times where I had figured it out earlier than everybody else. And I could just tell, starting off, it's not anointed, and the further I got, the worse it got. It's just not going to happen. God is not, and here's the thing, God is not into blessing your plan. And no matter how bad I would have begged Him, that message that night was never going to be anointed. You know why? Because He had something else He wanted to do. Now, I really felt He had given me that word. I don't think I ever did preach that message, but it was a good one. But certainly in that church, I never preached that message. Because God wanted me to yield to what He wanted to do that night. Now, I've been in ministry long enough to know I got to trust God. So anyway, I'm preaching my message. I'm, you know, so far into it. And I can just tell this isn't flying. So I said, everyone, just lift your hands and worship God for a moment. And I know they probably thought, oh, now here it goes. Brother Randy's getting a word of knowledge. He's hearing from God. And they're thinking all these wonderful things about me. And I'm just thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, please bail me out of this. I'll serve You all the days of my life. I didn't know what I was going to do. Had no plan. None. Just me up there. I knew I needed heaven's help, so I waited on the Lord earnestly. But what we did was we began to shift gears. You know, if what you're doing ain't working, right? Don't keep doing it. So I said, let's worship the Lord. So we ministered to the Lord for a moment. I felt the presence of God, because I felt better about it, because you start to feel the presence of God. So I tried to jump back in that message. It was worse than before. God's getting across to me, understand, that my message is not for tonight. My message. My wonderful, beautiful message. So I said, everyone, let's just lift hands and get home. I know Brother Randy's getting a word now. I'm just desperately begging God, Lord, what do You want me to do? I'll do anything You want me to do. That's literally what I'm saying. Under my breath, you understand. I'm cool on the outside. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know, whatever You want to do. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, have a healing line. And then I argued with God. You know, whenever you start to argue with God, you're just giving evidence that you're dumb. Because how many of you know He's not going to change His mind? He's right to begin with.
That's it. Yeah.
Amen. But I argued with the Lord because this was Friday night, and we had a healing service scheduled for Sunday night. And I said, Lord, we can't have a healing service tonight. You probably didn't notice the agenda. It's on the wall back. We're going to have a healing service Sunday night. Heaven was quiet. Why? Because as Lester Summerall always said, God never responds to stupidity. Amen. It's quiet. So let's all lift hands again. And God speaks again. Have a healing service. Have a healing line. So I didn't have, you know, I have no plan B. So I said, if you are sick in body, if you have symptoms, if you have pain, I mean, if you've got anything, come up here right now. People started immediately flooding to the front. The moment I laid hands on people, boom, there was a power of God. Boom, there was a power of God. And as soon as I got into that healing line, suddenly I was quickened. I was inspired. I knew what to say. We got down with that healing line. God gave a message on the spur of the moment, and it was anointed. Why? Because it was heaven's message. But the wisdom for what to do came from spending time waiting on heaven. And sometimes, if what we're doing in life ain't working, don't keep doing the same thing. Stop. Just stop. Give it up. Because he's not going to change his mind and say, well, it looks like you're really determined, so I'll bless your plan. It's not going to happen. You know, when God gave Moses the direction for the tabernacle, he told him again and again and again, make it according to the pattern that I show you on the mountain. You ever read the specifications for the tabernacle? They're very precise. Make it so long, make it out of this kind of material, do this, do that. And I used to wonder, why did God give us all that detail in the Bible? Because I'm pretty sure he didn't want me to go to Home Depot and buy the stuff and make one of these in my backyard. Why did he give us all that detail? The point was, he wanted to show us that he had a plan. And the Bible says of Moses in the building of that tabernacle that Moses was faithful in all his house. And he built that thing exactly according to God's divine specifications. And at the end of the story was in Exodus 40, when the temple was completed, the Bible said the glory of the Lord fell on it. Amen. If you want God to endorse what you do, you've got to live life according to his divine specifications. Can you say amen? You've got to follow his directions for life. Can you say amen? Okay. Let's do this. Lift your hands to heaven for just a moment. Let's just hear from God. Let's see if the Lord would have anything he wants us to do. Hallelujah. You know, I no sooner said that than the Spirit of God quickened what I said earlier. Remember I said earlier something about the curvature of the spine, problems in the back. If you're here tonight and you've got problems in your back or your neck, I want you to come up right now. If you've got problems in your back, your neck, anything like that, I want you to come up right now. If that's you, just get up here and just form a little line right across the way. Hallelujah. You know, we're just going to demonstrate what God's been talking about. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's just wait on him for a moment. Father, we bless you tonight.